Desire and interest in your attention, your prayers this morning. I'd like to write the subject on the board this morning. It's feel inspired to give, I guess, more what I would call a teaching lesson. I've written on the board, finding our way absent established convictions. Finding our way absent established convictions. We've spent several messages, I guess, now, mostly Sunday nights over the last year. They've been spread out just a little bit, exploring the subject of convictions. And when we speak of the word convictions this morning, speaking of it in terms of having strongly held personal values and beliefs, those convictions that we carry through life that are written on the tables of our hearts, that we feel very strongly about. And we've talked a little bit about the differences between having to do with convictions, between personal standards and Bible doctrine. Personal standards being those things where maybe we feel especially convicted. And maybe use that word conviction in two different ways. Convicted by the Lord to have strong personal values and beliefs, to take on certain lifestyles or ways in our lives or beliefs that we have for ourselves, that is a personal standard that we employ to help us live within the parameters of Bible doctrine. Of Bible standard. Bible doctrine, meaning those teachings of the Word of the Lord that are very specific, very clear, that apply to everyone. Bible doctrine applies to everyone. In other words, I can't just say and be okay before God that the Lord really hasn't revealed to me that it's important for me to live according to what it says in Philippians chapter this, verse this. It's the word of the Lord, and it applies to all of us. Personal standards, however, aren't always the same for everyone. There's a difference. And sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're not. May the Lord give us peace and understanding regarding these important elements of Christian living. I don't intend to go into that subject this morning, but it's something we have spoken about a bit. Would like to say this morning that it is important as we live our lives that we always maintain as Christians an overarching objective, a purpose, having a vision that encompasses living out our lives in a way that we know and reflect Jesus Christ. That we make heaven our home. That we are part of the kingdom of God. And that we help others make heaven their home. I'd like to quickly write that over here. So primary, and I'm going to abbreviate for time. Primary objective in our life is that we know and reflect Christ, that we make heaven and that we help other people make heaven, that it should be important to us as we live our lives that we help others find the kingdom of God. Primary objective of Christian living This can answer so many questions as we endeavor to understand, how should I make a decision regarding this in my life? Sometimes it is as simple as asking ourselves, is this helping me know and reflect Jesus Christ? Or is this taking me away from Jesus Christ? Does this not reflect what the Lord wants me to reflect? Is this conducive to me being part of the kingdom of God? Is it helping me so that when all is said and done, this isn't going to hinder me from making heaven? And lastly, is this going to hinder other people? Am I living my life in a way that can help others make it to heaven? And when we live our lives and we come across all the decisions that we have to make, and we wonder, which way do I go? This is a good starting place. What is my objective in life? Lord, help us to carry that with us. This morning I'm interested in touching on a common area that often represents a fork in the road for us as people, as we live life that is so important to get as right as we can by the grace of God. And that is, how do we make decisions? How do we make choices? Do I go right? Do I left? Do I go left? Do I go straight? As conscientious believers, as people that love the Lord, how do I make decisions when perhaps I do not yet have established personal convictions in this particular subject in my life? Does it make sense what I'm saying? Because the thing is, life goes on. whether we understand something or not, time moves on. Life is real. Tomorrow comes if the Lord spares time. And that is a reality. And so no decision is a decision. No change is a decision. Change is a decision. And time moves on. And so these sorts of things are important because we all run into them. And I would just like to say, as we begin this thought, and there's a lot that could be said about this that we're not going to have time to get to this morning, so I wanted to share what the Lord inspired for me to share this morning. But as a preface to it all, I'm so thankful that we serve a God that loves us. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that cares about me, and that if I make the wrong decision, and I'm trying to serve the Lord, and I want to serve Him, and I want to follow Him, and yet I go right when I should have gone left. We serve a God who loves us, and He cares about us, and He's not going to just let us go and say, oh, looks like they made the wrong decision, I guess that's the end of them. The Lord's going to come after us. He's going to head off. He's going to stick out His rod and His staff. He's going to do whatever He needs to do to help honest souls be on the right track. So we can be comforted with that this morning. I'd like to begin then and relate an experience that I had. It's turned into an object lesson for me. I was in my 20s. I hadn't been working real long. I was out of school. I was working at a paper mill. And a new chemical application system had been installed that delivered material to the paper machine floor, to the paper, so that you had good quality product when it came off the other end. New system installed. And I happened to be in the control room where the operator was making decisions and making decisions around what the set points were supposed to be, etc. And he had put the target set point for that new application system to something that was outside of what the operating procedure called for. And I didn't know that. And I was just sitting in there kind of watching everything. And the plant superintendent walked in. And he said, "Hey, you know, how's it going?" And he was not looking for trouble. And he looked and he noticed that dial had been set to something outside of what it was supposed to be set at. And so he just asked the question. He said, "Oh, I noticed that this is set to X, and it's normally supposed to be at Y." He said, "Why is it set there?" And the operator looked at him and he said, "Well," he said, "I don't understand the system fully. I don't really understand completely all what's going on down there, so I set it there," to something else he didn't understand. And I'll never forget what the superintendent said, because here I am talking about it 30 plus years later. He looked at it and he looked at the operator and he said, so what you're telling me is that you have now set it to something that you know isn't right." See, it wasn't good to be low or high. Sometimes we can take a conservative route, try to set it at a safe. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that in a few moments. But in this instance, it needed to be right. But he said, "So you're saying you set it to something you know isn't right." He said, "Turn it back to target application rate. Turn it back to what the instructions say works." And basically what he was saying is, until you know something different, until there's some other information that you are acquainted with and understand, because he asked him, "Why did you do that?" And he had no answer. He just looked at him. He said, and he gave him opportunity to say, "Well, you know, I went down there and I discovered that actually what this is reading out is not what it's applying, and we've done some tests, and because of the results, I'm making an adjustment to try to make sure we hit centerline." But that wasn't what it was. It was just that I don't really understand the system, and so I have defaulted to something else. "Well, why did you change to that other number that you don't understand?" "I don't know." "So what you're telling me," and I'm reiterating this, make a strong point. "So what you're telling me is you've changed to something you know doesn't work, or something else that you don't understand. Go back to what the operating procedure says and set it there until you know something different. And in the meantime, continue to make decisions consistent with what you know is right in all other areas of the operation." Think spiritually with me. Think your life. In all other areas of life, this thing over here that has caused you some uncertainty, go back to the best thing that you know is right, based on those that know more about it than you do. And all of these other areas that you know to do that is right, continue to do that. Continue to follow the standard operating procedure as you know is right. Well, do we ever as Christians find ourselves in places in life where established convictions, strongly held beliefs, are absent? They're not there yet. Maybe you just moved out of the house. Maybe you're getting older and you're starting to have to make some more decisions on your own. And now it's up to you to make some decisions on how you're going to live. Mom and Dad have always said that here's how we're going to do it in this house. But now it's your house, and you're going to have to make some decisions on how you're going to live, what you're going to allow in your home, what you're going to allow in your life, what you're going to believe and take on as as your own personal values and beliefs. It's your turn now. And the scripture tells us in Philippians, work out your own salvation. There comes a time when you're going to have to work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Because it's serious. There's consequences at the end of the road that you choose to go down. And when we're speaking of spiritual things, it's necessary to work out your own relationship with God with fear and trembling. And in fact, it's Philippians 2 and 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I want the Lord to work in my life in a way that results in good for me. I want to make good decisions. I don't want to casually. I don't want to emotionally. I don't want to make a rash decisions on how I'm going to live my life, understanding that there's consequences at the end of this road. And sometimes, even in this life, if I make wrong decisions on very important points that have to do with my spiritual soul, that it affects a whole lot of people, that even if I can get it corrected by the grace of God later in life, sometimes there are other people that have been affected that I can't go and undo. We all are going to make mistakes. We're going to all wish we could go back and do some things differently. But may God help us do the best that we can do. That we get it as right as we can get it. When we face those instances in life where we've got to find our way, finding our way absent established conviction, personal conviction in my heart and in my life. So I'd like to summarize a few principles this morning. Like I said, there's a lot more that could be said about this than these, but I'm inspired to give these this morning. The first one is, don't default to something that you know is wrong. You say, well, why would I ever do that? Why would I make a decision with something that I know isn't right? People do it. People will look at things that they don't understand in life. Maybe there is a way of life that is presented to them regarding a certain principle, and we say, I just don't understand it. And since I don't understand it, I throw up my hands and I just say, whatever, I guess I'm going to go do what makes me feel good. I know that it's not consistent with Scripture, but it's what I want to do and it's what makes me feel good, even though I know it's probably not right. And my justification is because I don't understand this thing over here. And so sometimes then we will default, people can default to something they know is not right, or default to something else that they don't understand. Huh? Does that make sense? If you say, well, I'm not going to live my life this way because I don't understand it very well, so I'm going to live my life this way. But they don't have very much understanding of that either, and they know that it's not right. Don't default to something you know isn't right. I know it seems counterintuitive. People do it. Young people, as you grow up, and you start making decisions in life. There may be things you don't understand in the home. There may be things you don't understand completely that's taught at church. Don't throw up your hands and say, well, I don't understand that. I guess I'm just going to go do this. When you know deep down in your heart that that's not right. And a close cousin to this is hold fast to known truth. Hold fast to known truth. You may think, well, that's just a different way of saying the first item. But I've seen this happen where, spiritually speaking, because that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about spiritual things. People that are making a decision on how to live their life, and they have this item, this area, maybe a particular area that they've been taught at home by their family, or they come to church and the preacher preaches this, and there's this one thing that they really don't have a lot of understanding of. This first one is, in that particular area, don't switch to something in that area that you know is wrong. But this has even broader implications. It almost seems like sometimes, if we're not careful, human nature can be to throw up your hands and say, well, I don't understand X, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, so I'm going to throw up my hands on the whole alphabet. Even though I know what to do that's right in A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, all these other areas of life that you know is right. And that the enemy can come in and say, well, you don't, this thing over here, what are they teaching that for? You don't understand that. That doesn't make a lot of sense. That's not really consistent with the word. You don't have to do that. Just you'd be better off just making your own decision. We can get our mind start turning around, and then people just throw up their hands and they walk away from things that they know to be his truth. Young folks, don't do that. Don't let the enemy get you in a place where this applies. I remember talking to somebody years ago about their soul, and they knew they needed to be saved. They acknowledged that they needed to be saved. They knew their areas in their life. There were these areas of known truth. And they said to me, they said, well, there's a couple of areas that I don't quite understand over here. I'm not sure about them, and so what I want to do is I want to try to work those things and gain understanding of that before I do this, before I get saved, before I do all these other things that I know is right. What? That's so dangerous. That's so dangerous to... It's foolish. You're going to cause yourself harm and other people's harm and create consequences when you allow those areas that you don't have established convictions yet in your heart, and you allow the enemy to use that as a wedge to open the door to allowing all the things that you do know is right to go right out and say, well, I don't understand that. It looks like I'm not part of it, so I guess I'll just go live however I want. And if such a time comes that I can get better understanding of that, then maybe I'll come back and revisit these others. Folks, may God help us that when we live life and we run into these places where we don't have established convictions in our heart, and yet a decision has to be made. Life goes on. Tomorrow comes. We're going to have to do something. Hold fast to what you know is right. In the areas that you do have understanding, don't become distracted from those areas while there's this thing that you don't have understanding of. Make sense? Don't become so distracted with X that you lose sight of holding on to the whole rest of the alphabet of life. Don't make fast, rash, quick changes. Take small steps of faith. If you believe that there's something you don't quite understand that's being taught at home or at church, or and it's not clear to you, it hasn't been written on the tables of your heart. What you don't want to do is say, well, since I don't understand that, I'm going to make a hard left turn over here because I don't understand that. So I'm going to immediately go over here. Or I'm going to go to the right. Or I'm going to go jump into the deep end of the pool because I don't understand the shallow. Because it just doesn't seem right. It just seems shallow. It seems like it's not broad enough. It's a limited thinking. So I don't really understand that, so I guess I'll just go jump in the deep end. And you don't even know what's in the water at the deep end. There can be snakes and things that devour and cause all kinds of trouble that are lurking below the surface when you do that. When you encounter these places of life, I don't know how else to say it, so just bear with me. By the grace of God, go into safe mode. You ever seen that come up on your computer? You're working on your computer and all of a sudden the computer detects something's not right. Something looks like it might be corrupted. If you keep going the way you're going, this might not turn out okay. And so it will ask a question, do you want to proceed in safe mode? You ever seen that? Yeah. And so you can say, yeah, I want to go in safe mode. And what that means is, okay, I can proceed, but I'm going to proceed cautiously. I'm going to proceed in a limited manner until I better understand these things that I don't understand, because otherwise it could create all kinds of problems in the alphabet of life. And so while you're in this place, go in safe mode. Step back. Don't default to things you know is wrong. Hold fast to known truth. And when you're not sure, don't make any fast, drastic decisions. That's dangerous. Especially when there are people that you have confidence in their lives that are saying, that's dangerous. Which brings us to the third point. When you find this in your life, it's still appropriate, it's still Bible, to seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a nation falls. Where there's no guidance, a nation falls. When I'm going to approach life and it's all on my shoulders with no guidance, and I do not have the benefit of talking to people that have already seen this battle, that have already been down this road, that have already been hurt, And I don't have any of that guidance. I'm just going to do it all on my own because, after all, I just need to learn for myself. Well, I want to say there is value in learning things for ourselves. It's impactful. There's nothing like learning it firsthand for yourself. But if you walk into a fire and you lose your life, or you lose an arm and you lose a leg, there's no virtue in saying, I lost my life, but I learned it for myself. I don't want to lose my life. If somebody can say, Rod, there's a pit of fire, the road ends down there, and everybody that's going down this road is going to be lost, I don't want to be one of the ones that's hollering from the bottom. Well, I'm glad I learned it for myself, but I've been lost. There's no virtue in that. Why do I want to go through life with no arm and no leg? No eye. Irreparably hurt. Unnecessarily. When there is somebody that could have helped me. So this said, where there's no guidance, and it's not just speaking of what you get for yourself without the input of other people. Proverbs talks a lot about seeking guidance from godly people, getting godly counsel. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So who should we seek counsel from? Godly counselors. Godly counselors. It's not just go get an abundance of advice from people that you know think about this exactly like you think about it. That's not what it says. That's not what the scriptures teach. The same writer that said this speaks of the value, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It speaks of the value of those that will give you counsel that is not easy to hear. But it's for the saving of your soul. So what kind of counsel should we get? Counsel that are from those people that demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. People that love the Lord. That this is their primary objective. It's helpful to be able to talk to somebody when you have your convictions are not yet established. And going to somebody that might be a little further down the road that has given their life to knowing Christ, to living their life so they can reflect Christ, where the most important thing is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness all their way through so that in the end they can make heaven, where their interest is helping others make heaven. There's value in going and getting counsel from those sorts of people. It doesn't help very much if you're trying to live for the Lord and you're wanting to make the right decision and you don't understand this element over here to then go and get advice from people that don't share this objective in their life. You're getting advice from people that are trying to go a completely different direction than what you're trying to go. May the Lord give us wisdom in these things. And while you're doing this, while you're seeking the Lord, while you're reading the scriptures, while you're asking the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you, be honest and be humble. You know, sometimes when you're trying to make a decision on how to live and you start getting older and your parents don't get to tell you, they're not going to tell you what to do anymore and it's on you. It sounds like a really virtuous thing to say, I want my own convictions. I want my own convictions. I need to do it the way I think is right to do it for myself. That is right. That is good. That's where we're all going to get, whether we want to or not. We're going to stand before God for ourselves. That's good. But it's also very important to be honest about what your motivation is. It is important to have your own convictions, but this process that you're working through right now, what is it that you're trying to justify in your life? Is this your objective? Where you want to reflect Christ and seek first the kingdom of heaven more than anything else? Or is your objective something else? Be honest. Be willing to say, I wasn't thinking about that right. I had too much of myself. Be humble. Be willing to seek counsel. Some people say, well, experience doesn't count for much. Because I see a lot of people that have experience that don't help you very much. But that may be true. But that's not who you have to get godly counsel from. Get godly counsel from people that have used their experience to their benefit, that do have strong objectives, Christ-centered. Lord, help all of us, no matter how far we get in life, middle-aged, old, that we never stop being honest with ourselves and with God about what it is I'm trying to do, and humble. We can start getting older and start feeling like we've arrived, we know, and sometimes we can get older and not be open any longer for counsel. We think we've earned the right now, we know, and no one's going to move me. And we think that there's virtue in that. And there is virtue in not being moved as long as you're standing on the Word of God. But if you're standing on something that's not the Word of God, and someone's trying to help you understand that the Word of God is teaching us something else, then saying, I'm not going to be moved, I'm going to be set and established, can start to reflect more stubbornness and self-will and pride sometimes than honesty and humility to say, you know what, I may have lived a while, but I need help. The Lord is still leading me and guiding me, and I want to be honest, and I want to be humble, and I want to be open to what doth say the word of the Lord. So these are some guiding principles this morning to give consideration to as part of our decision-making process in living for the Lord. And I want to close with two comments to help solidify a couple of important points. Yes, allow yourself room to grow. We don't get everything all at once. I sure don't. Sometimes I wonder why it's taken me so long as it's taken me to get some points that seem like should have been pretty foundational. We don't learn everything at once. Most often, established convictions come through a process, not a moment. Many times, having established convictions is a result of a process, not a moment. But don't lose sight of this. Growing in the Lord doesn't involve willingly giving up ground that you gained. Things that you know to be truth, hold on to it. And lastly, let the word of God allow this objective. Lord, I want to serve you more than anything else. Lord, I want to reflect Christ. Whatever it takes, whatever it means. Lord, that's what I want. Allow those things to shape your heart before you allow your mind to be settled on how you're going to live your life. Because if your heart is not shaped around this being the most important, we can allow our minds to become settled in areas that'll take us far from the Lord. If we allow, the Lord has promised us a gift of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in life with love and care and mercy. I want to take advantage of it. May the Lord bless these truths to your heart and your life, and may He give the increase to them this morning. Appreciate your attention. Amen.